Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parajakacharya Tatara Sattva Shishman Bhakti Ranta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parajakacharya Tatara Sattva Shishman Bhakti Santa Saraswati Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki. All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. So today we're reading from Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 8 and verse 6, which is, thank you very much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Manganata Maranjasya Ganangana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Tvapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagratatam Sahagana Ragnatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vitakam Svishamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we'll do the Sanskrit and those who'd like to repeat it can. Yam Yam Vapi Smaram Bhavam Jadyatante Kalevaram Tamantame Vitikanteya Sadatad Baba Bhavita. Please repeat. Param. Jaja Chanti Kalevaram. Tam Tam Eviti Kanteya. Sadatad Baba Bhavita. Yam Yam Vapi Smaram Bhavam. Jaja Chanti Kalevaram. Tam Tam Eviti Kanteya. Sadatad Baba Bhavita. Yam Yam Vapi Smaram Bhavam. Chaja Chante Kalevaram. Tam Tam Eviti Kanteya. Sadatad Baba Bhavita. Yam Yam Vapi Smaram Bhavam. Chaja Chante Kalevaram. Tam Tam Eviti Kanteya. Sadata Baba Bhavita. Yajad Vapi Smaram Bhavam. Chaja Chante Kalevaram. Tam Tam Eviti Kanteya. Sadatad Baba Bhavita. Okay, word for word. Yum yum. Whatever. Va. Either. Vapi. Also. Smaram. Remembering. Bhavam. Nature. Jajati. Give up. Ante. At the end. Kalevaram, this body. Tam Tam, similar. Eva, certainly. Eti, gets. Kanteya, O son of Kunti. Sada, always. Tat, that. Bhava, state of being. Bhavita, remembering. And so whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. So purport by Srila Prabhupada, the process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharat thought of a deer at the time of death and so was transferred to that form of life. However, as a deer, Maharaj Bharat could remember his past activities. Of course, the cumulative effect of the thought and action of one's life influences one's thought at the moment of death. Therefore, the action of this life determines one's future state of being. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not physical. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna is the best practice for successfully changing one's state of being to a transcendental life. So, such an important verse and purport, and one that affects us all. I was listening to one tape that Srila Prabhupada was talking about, you know, these verses in this chapter. And he was saying that, you know, if your landlord comes and says, you must vacate this apartment. It's very, you have to leave, like, I'll give you 2 days or I'll give you, you know, 1 hour to vacate. What are you going to do if the landlord tells you that? What? Freak out. Okay, that's one solution. But besides that, what are you going to do? Huh? You're going to start apartment hunting. Right, you're going to start looking, you know, I can't stay here, I have to look for someone else. So we know from our experience, you know, as far as we know, death is 100% certain. Nobody gets out of here alive, right? So it's going to happen to everybody. So it's not really, some people say, oh, why are you so negative? Why are you thinking about dying? Well, it doesn't have to be negative, but it has to be realistic. If you know you're getting kicked out, you want to be able to understand where you're going. So I know for myself, as you know, a young girl, and learning about God, you know, and learning about life, my mother told me there was a big clock in hell, and it had it went back and forth, and it says, you know, if you don't behave yourself, you're gonna be in here forever. You'll never get out, not ever. And I thought, wow, that is like really mean, you know. And also I thought, you know, the idea was that you behaved yourself, you know, you loved God, and then you would go to heaven. But then, again, my thought was like, but what's heaven like? There was not much information about it that I could find. First of all, there was God, but he was sitting in a throne, and he looked pretty fearsome to me. And there was angels and harps. But I thought, wow, if it's like church, I don't think I want to go there either. So I had a lot of questions and did a lot of research, but I found in the Vedic scriptures there was such an incredible explanation of the spiritual world. You know, what it looks like, what they do there. All the questions that I had were like more than answered. And just like if you're going to take a trip to the Bahamas or you're going to take a trip to Italy, you want to know a little bit about it, like what's there to do there, you know? What are the people like? What does it look like? What kind of food do they have? So suddenly I learned so much about the spiritual world that I was interested, you know, I wanted to go there. And the way we learn this information, Lord Brahma, who was one of the very first, who was the very first personality created, he was actually given a vision of the, first of all, he was given a vision of the Vaikunthas by Narayan, and later on Krishna gave him a vision of Goloka Vrindavan. So that's in these prayers of Lord Brahma. And I'm just going to recite those prayers. They're so beautiful. If you know them, you can say them with me if you like. Shri Akanta Kanta Paramapurusha Kalpatarava Juma Bhumis Chintamani Ganamai Toyam Amritam Kata Ganam Nacham Ganamamapi Vamsi Priyasaki Shirandandam Jyoti Paramapi Taraswadimapicha. It goes on. There's another beautiful verse that goes on. But basically, it's speaking of what the spiritual world is like. And one thing it says is like the water is like nectar. And it says every word is music. And every step is dance. And that there's wish-fulfilling trees. You know, the water was like Amrita Toyam. And the wish-fulfilling trees, what is the Sanskrit for the... Oh yeah, kalpavriksha trees that will give you whatever you want, and that the people there, the Vaikuntha citizens of this planet, you know, described that their complexions aren't like the dull black and white complexions of this material world, but they're brilliant, you know, very bright, full of light, like the color with lightning. So very beautiful people. And the people are beautiful, but also in these planetary systems, they're devoid of any kind of misery. Like in this world, we experience the miseries adiatmic, adibodhic, adidaivic. You know, miseries of the body and mind. You know, miseries that are inflicted by nature, earthquakes, hurricanes. You know, so many problems, floods, and miseries inflicted by other living entities, either insects or, you know, somebody driving their car into a bunch of people, or just an insult. So many things can go wrong. So this is another aspect of this spiritual planet, is that those miseries don't exist. So, you know, envy and anger and greed, those kinds of qualities aren't there. So, you know, made me want to go there, wanted me to go there. But how do we go there? Like if, let's say you want, even if you want to go these days to another country, you have to get a passport. There's certain qualifications. Now if you want to come to America, wow, you really have to go through a lot of hoops, even, you know, even to get in. So what to speak of the spiritual world? Like how do we qualify ourselves to be able to reach that heavenly realm? It's not at all ordinary. So, You know, we learn that by, again, because whatever state of mind you have when you leave, that's a state you attain. So how do we get that state that would bring us to that place? So it's called Krishna Smaranam. You know, remembering of Krishna, remembering of God. You know, so God, you know, Krishna is one name of God that means the most beautiful, the most attractive person. But, you know, God has many names. You know, God has many names. So how do we become immersed in the thoughts of God? Well, we learn in the Vedic scriptures so many pastimes of the Lord, you know, so many pastimes of Krishna. And we also learn about so many personalities who were able to they were successful at this. I'm just going to mention a few of them, you know, just to give us some inspiration that, yeah, we can, you know, this can happen, we can do this. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, he encouraged us and he assured us that by following this process of Krishna consciousness, that at the end of this life, we could go back home, back to Godhead, and be done with the envy and the anger and the greed and the anxiety. Like Vaikuntha is a word that means, Kunta means anxiety, and Vai means without. So a world without anxiety, try to imagine. It's pretty difficult to imagine it, you know, but that's where what it is, and that's what it means. So Maharaj Pariket is one of the examples. Maharaj Pariket, he was a king, so he was traveling around his kingdom, and he came upon an ashram. There was a yogi sitting there, and he was waiting for the yogi to garland him and to maybe give him a glass of water, some simple, you know, welcome. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that because he was immersed in, you know, meditating. But Maharaj Pariket, he got angry, so he found a dead snake and he just kind of threw it around the neck of the yogi and left. But his son, the yogi's son, he saw this and he heard about it and he was upset about it, so he decided that he would curse Maharaj Pariket. And I curse you, you know, you're gonna die in a week by a snake bird. So it said that Maharaj Pariket, he could have appealed. He had that kind of adhikar, you know what I mean? He had enough spiritual potency that he could have petitioned Krishna, oh, please don't let this happen, but he didn't. Because it explains that a pure devotee, he never asks Krishna for anything because he knows that Krishna has a plan. He knows that Krishna has a special plan just for him. So instead, he assembled. There was a big assembly of sages that came. And Shukadeva Goswami, he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is one of the main scriptures that Srila Prabhupada translated. And he spoke it for 7 days, and there were sages from everywhere that came to listen. And Maharaj Pariket, he didn't eat or drink, and he never felt any hunger as he listened to this amrita, as listened to this, it's called deathless nectar. And so at the time of death, when that snake bird did strike, he was totally ready. You know, he was totally ready for it. So, you know, so many examples like this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's one of the saints in our line, it explains he was in his home, and, you know, he had his, you know, deities in his home, and he was taking some charitamrita that he had used to bathe his deities. And while he was doing this, his home was transformed into the spiritual world. Because of his love and because of his devotion, that's what occurred. So that's always there for us. And so there's another story that I really love, and this is about Nanda Maharaj. This is about Krishna's father. And so Krishna's father, he had fasted on Ekadasi day, and the next day he went to the river to bathe. And unfortunately, he bathed at the wrong time, inauspicious time. So Varuna, the god of the river, he arrested him, and he brought him down into the river. And Nanda Maharaj's friends were like, oh my God, what happened to Nanda Maharaj? Krishna Balam, please come. You know, Nanda Maharaj has been arrested. So they immediately came. They went down into the water. And when they got there, Varuna, the god of the water, he was like, oh my gosh, it's Krishna Balaram. And he apologized, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for this to happen. My servants, they just didn't know. And he started to worship Krishna Balaram. And he started to offer him artik and all kinds of things, you know. So when Nanda Maharaj came out with Krishan Balaram, Nanda Maharaj's cowherd friend started to say, well, what happened? He goes, well, it was really unusual because, you know, all of Varuna and all of his servants, they were worshiping Krishna and Balaram. They were offering him things, and they were praising him, singing songs. And so the cowherd man said, well, do you think that Krishna might be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And he's like, no. He's my son. He's very special. But he's not God, you know, because Nanda Maharaj had that special relationship. You know, there's different relationships you're going to have with God. One of them is Aishvarya, where you offer, you know, where you love God in awe and reverence, you know. And then there's Shanta, which is kind of a neutral relationship, that you might be like a blade of grass or a flower. Then there's Dasya, where you're a servant. You know, many of us feel comfortable in that relationship. And then Vatsalya is a parent, which is the relationship that Nanda Maharaj had. And then Madhurya Lila, which is the highest relationship. So Nanda Maharaj, he could never see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. He only saw him as his loving son. So the cowherd men were all talking about this, and Krishna, listening to it, said, I'm going to reveal the spiritual world to these cowherd men. Because he heard them talking about it, you know, and just wondering about it. I'm going to reveal it. So he did. He revealed the spiritual world to them. So I thought, you know, that is really what Srila Prabhupada has done for us. He has revealed the spiritual world to us in so many ways, you know. Like, here we are, you know, we're every day we're chanting God's name. Every day we're offering prayers, you know, either at our home or at the temple. You know, every day we have our little services. You know, some people, they make the unbelievable garlands and the decorations. I mean, they're probably starting today for next Sunday, planning, you know, the next things they're going to wear and all the ornaments they're going to have. So that idea of the spiritual world being revealed, Prabhupada has given that to us. And also we're able to begin to practice, again, to train ourselves to be ready to be able to go to that place without any envy, without any greed. So when we realize that, we can really appreciate all the devotees around us, because we want to make sure that we understand who these people really are. You know, because it says in the Nectar Devotion of this, someone becomes a devotee quite easily. Like, I know some of you people, you know, are new bhaktas. They came just so easily. And it says in the Nectar Devotion in that case that you were devoting your next life, but you never completely finished, you know, your devotional service. So here we are. We're finishing up, and we're trying to qualify ourselves so we'll be able to go back to the spiritual world. Also, there was a story of Shivananda Sen. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Shivananda Sen, he had a dog, and he wanted to go see Lord Chaitanya. So when he got to the Ganga to cross over, the toll man, he wouldn't let the dog get in the boat. You know, maybe there's too many people, something, he wouldn't take the dog. So Shivananda Sen paid the boatman to bring him over afterwards, and he asked some of his servants to make sure that the dog was fed. So he got over, you know, on the other side of the Ganga, and he didn't see the dog, and then when he talked to his servants later on, they hadn't fed the dog, and they didn't know where the dog was. So Shivananda Sen, imagine, he's like a very special person, associate of Lord Chaitanya, but he felt so bad that he fasted the entire evening, and the next morning when he went to see Lord Chaitanya, there was the dog. There was Lord Chaitanya with coconut, and there was the dog, and Lord Chaitanya was throwing the pieces of coconut to the dog, and it said that the dog was chanting Hare Krishna in his own way. So let me see. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! he was chanting, and the next... And shortly after, they found that the dog had died, had gone back to the spiritual world. So it reminded me of a story when I was in Miami. I think it was 1974, 1975. Srila Prabhupada had come to visit Miami, and he was giving class underneath the banyan trees. Very mystical, beautiful atmosphere. And he was talking about prasadam. And he said that... he was just, you know, chanting the glories of Prashadam. He said, all of you, he actually said, all of you have come to me because of Prashadam. Even you, Abhiram. And he was the temple president. So I was like, wow, even Abhiram came from Prashadam, you know. So then one of the devotees raised their hand and asked a question. He said, but Prabhupada, is it true that if you take Prashadam, that you'll take a human birth at least in your next life? Prabhupada said, yes, it's true. So all the devotees started to cheer, Hari Bol, you know, we've got it made. So when it calmed down, Prabhupada said, there are some species of monkeys that are considered human. So it made us realize, okay, Prashadam is important, as we can see. You know, it purifies the whole body and mind. And scientists say that after 7 years, your body completely changes. So when you take Prashadam every day, after 7 years, it's like you already have a spiritual body, you know? So there's so many ways that we can purify ourselves. There's like 9 processes of devotional service. You know, hearing, which Marsh Prickett, you know, he was the quintessential example of someone who gained, you know, freedom from chanting and from hearing. And Shukadev, who chanted the Bhagavatam, he was famous for his chanting. And then there's also praying, Akura, and Queen Kunti, and Prahlad. So many devotees were famous for their prayers. Even Gajendra the elephant. Gajendra the elephant, he had a whole backstory. But basically, he was in the river enjoying, and a crocodile came up and grabbed his foot. And so Prabhupada explained that the crocodile was in his element in the water and Gajendra wasn't. So they fought for a very long time, but Gajendra started to lose steam. And Gajendra remembered his past life. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Just like when we learned about Maharaj Bharat, because he became a deer because he was thinking of the deer primarily. But because he did all this devotional service, he took a deer's body, but he remembered all his past life. So he ended up living near an ashram as a deer, still being able to hear Krishna Katha and, you know, elevate himself from there. So Gajendra, he remembered his past life as a devotee, and he picked up a lotus flower from the river. He held it up, and he said his prayer, and Krishna came down to rescue him. So even a little, you know, there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Nehabikramo Nashusti Pachavayana Vidyate Swapamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatovaya, that on this path there's little loss or diminution, and even a little advancement on this path can save one from the most dangerous type of fear. So that means as when you're out on Ratha Yatra, or you're just out on the street like you know, Divyanga, he always brings lollipops, and you give somebody a lollipop, that can be enough to change that person where they take a human birth next lifetime, or they begin their path of devotional service, because one of the very first processes of devotional service is Shraddha, which means faith. So if someone takes a lollipop, you know, or takes a book, or looks at the I remember I was on Pujari on the Ratha Yatra cart, because Yadu wasn't feeling well. And so when we parked, I saw people coming up, and really their eyes were like so big and their smiles were like so huge that they were just like overwhelmed with the whole experience. You know, they never experienced anything like that in their life, right? And many of us had that same experience of meeting devotees. It was like so different. So that is the beginning of their spiritual life. I was actually thinking, and I mentioned it to a couple of people, that it would be nice for us to have a little flyer, you know, maybe just a front and back, explaining what the festival is about. So sometimes when you have a quick meeting with someone, you don't have enough time to really explain what the festival is for. But at least you could give them the pamphlet and they could read about it, because it's so inspiring to understand the history and how long, you know, how many thousands of years that this Ratha Yatra festival has been going on. So there's the prayers, and then remembering Krishna. You know, Prahlad Maharaj was also a quintessential example of remembering Krishna and just being able to take shelter. It's like, basically, you become, you know, who you take, who do you take shelter of? Like when something terrible happens, you know, let's say you're almost in a car accident, you can test yourself, like, what do you say? Oh, damn. Or you say, Krishna, Krishna, you know, it's like you'll be able to tell. Like Prabhupada says, you can teach a parrot to say Hare Krishna. He'll chant Hare Krishna. But if the cat comes up and grabs him, he just goes, squawk, right? Because he doesn't have that, he doesn't have that realization. But as we have that Krishna Smaranam, as we have that realization, then that's naturally where we call out. So we're just practicing for that. And also, of course, serving the lotus feet. Like, I remember Prabhupada saying there was one woman in Vrindavan who every day she would bring some Ganges water to the temple. And she was going back to Godhead because of her service. So even if we do a little bit of service and we do it regularly, it says even though we won't remember Krishna, we may not remember Krishna at the time of death, Krishna is so beholden to the devotee for offering that service that he remembers the devotee and he will take him back home, back to Godhead. So all of that is so encouraging to all of us. And then being a friend to Krishna, like, you know, I said there's different kind of relationships, and Arjuna was such a great friend of Krishna's, and he did not realize that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead for a long, long time, not until really he was asking him so many questions, and then he wanted to see Krishna's universal form, and Krishna revealed it, and then he didn't want to see it anymore, you know, that's enough. He wanted to just see him in his personal form. It says, Bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tatumam tatvatonyatva vishitetana nantaram, that only by devotional service can one understand me as I am. And when it comes to full realization by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So, you know, we're kind of living in the kingdom of God right here as we chant God's name. Just like today, the kirtan was so incredible. You know, Nagaraj just really, wow, he just connected us all. Everybody was dancing and chanting and so memorable. We have so many blissful moments, you know, as devotees. And then, you know, of course, there's surrendering everything. Like, you know, Maharaj Bali was a good example of surrendering everything. So it's not that easy to surrender everything, but it is in the sense that param rishtva nivartate, if you experience a higher taste. Like it's hard to give up eating Wonder Bread. I don't know if they still have that kind of bread, Wonder Bread, you know. Plain white bread, you know. But if someone gives you like homemade bread, you know, just baked from the oven, you're like, whoa, okay, forget this Wonder Bread. I'll take this homemade bread. So it's kind of like that. As we, you know, at first it may be difficult, like, okay, we don't eat any meat, we don't eat any, you know, drink coffee or tea or, you know, we don't eat any of that. So that would be very hard for someone if they're not already vegetarian. But they find as they change their diet, they feel a little lighter, they feel a little happier. You know, it's happened to so many of us. So it's not really that hard to give up when you experience a higher taste. And if you have that kind of faith that if I follow this process, I am going to be able to reach the highest destination. And by associating with other people Prabhupada was so brilliant, but one of the most brilliant parts of his plan was to set up these centers all over the world in his very short time here, in like 11 years, 108 temples all over the world. And now, I'm not sure how many temples there are, but there's just so... How many? Thousands. Okay, thousands. Yeah, there's just so many. So all these little, just like sometimes if you go to the library and they'll have a little sign that says safe place. You know, if there is a child or someone who's experienced some kind of abuse, they can go there and, you know, it's a safe place for them. So the temples and the devotees are like safe places. You can go there and you can confide, you know. That's one of the loving exchanges to give yourself a confidence and to listen to someone else's confidences. So, you know, just being able to, and making sure that when people come to our temple, is there anybody here today in the temple for the first time? Okay, welcome. All right, so we want to make sure that we connect with these very special people who are coming for the first time, so that they'll be able to understand, you know, what it is that we're doing, and give them something to bring. You know that you can go to the back and get a little book and bring it home with you and all that, you know. So that's how we all started. You know, we just came and got a book. We met the devotees. I mean, I remember meeting the devotees. I was like so enamored, like right away. I just thought, God, I just want to be like them. They're like so wonderful, you know. I could already practically see halos, you know, the beautiful faces, you know, the bright faces. So that's our recipe, you know, for going back to the spiritual world is being able to remember Krishna by recollection and by just being able to meditate. You know, there's different kinds of yoga. There's a hatha yoga. We do the exercises. We get the body in shape. We try to make the mind more peaceful. Jnana yoga, which is knowledge, you know, just that higher spiritual knowledge. And it goes up the ladder, but the Bhagavad Gita says, yoginam api sarvesham makate nataratmana shradavam bhajate yomam samayuktatamo mataha, that out of all yogis, who abides in me with great faith, rendering transcendental service, is the highest of all. He's the most intimately united with me and is the highest of all. So the goal of yoga is to unite. It means linking up with God. That's the actual meaning of yoga. So we don't want to practice yoga and leave out that the most important part of it, which is that love. And it is all about, it's all about love, really, the whole thing. Bhakti yoga means the yoga of love and devotion. And Prabhupada explains this too in the Nectar of Devotion, that, you know, a child is born and the first love he experiences is the love of his mother, and his father, and then it expands maybe to his siblings and to his grandparents, and then as he gets older it may expand to his friends, and then, you know, maybe to his community, then maybe to his state or his nation, and then he probably actually says it's like a band of light or sound just expanding all over you care about the whole universe. And that was Srila Prabhupada. He cared about the universe. He cared about everyone. And so was able to give us this process. Like, just by chanting Hare Krishna even one time, it goes around the world seven times, and it purifies everything in its path, moving and non-moving living entities. So that's so exceptional. So now we could just talk, you know, I thought of the seventh chapter and the tenth chapter, like, what are some of the other ways that it's simple for us to remember Krishna? For example, rasaham mapsakanteya, the taste of water, right, the taste of water. So every time we drink water, we can just think, wow, this water, it tastes like Krishna. And there's nothing like pure water, like when you're thirsty, you know? It's just so wonderful. What's another way that we can remember Krishna? What? What? Oh, the sun, yeah. The eye of the sun and the moon, right? The eyes of the sun and the moon. Anybody else want to say it? How? Yes. The greatest scientist, for sure. Yeah. He's got those six qualities, right? He's the strongest. He's the most knowledgeable. He's the most beautiful. He's most renowned. He's most famous. And he's the most wealthy. So all of those things. I mean, you think about, you know, it's so much promoted in our world, you know, beauty and you know, and fame and wealth, right? Renunciation, not so much. Those are the main things. So, but the thing is, somebody's a multi-billionaire. Great, good for him. But at the time of death, and probably gives the example where the man who's a very wealthy, he's like, could you just give me, like, you know, one more day? Or like, no, when it's time, it is over. You know what I mean? You can have $100 billion, you can't buy one more second. So The time is also Krishna, right? Time, that's another aspect of Krishna. He's time. Is that Kala? Time. So Yeah, so many Krishnas. Of beasts, he is the lion. Of flowers, he is. Of months, he's flower bearing spring. What else? His banyan tree. What? He's the ability in man. That's so important. Like there you are, you know, your final exam, and you're so nervous. Like this is like a make it or break it kind of exam, and you have to remember, okay, Krishna's the ability. You still have to study. You still have to study. But Krishna is the ability in man. All these things are like so important. Sarah. That is right. In fact, there's one famous devotee in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he sees the peacock feather, he faints in ecstasy because remembers it. What's his name? What is it? Omukunda. Because, you know, it reminds of Krishna. So devotees are kind of like that too. When they see a cow, automatically they're like, oh my gosh, there's a, you know, a beautiful cow and milk for Krishna. And, you know, it says that Krishna's artistry is like birds, you know. So many ways to remember this, but anything that's beautiful, like tatad vibhutimat sattvam srimad urjitam evava, that of all mighty, beautiful, and glorious creations, Krishna says, there are but a spark of my splendor. So there's so much beauty here, but there's so much more for us that will be revealed, just like it was to, it's partially revealed right now. But actually, Prabhupada says in one place, it's so wonderful. He says that when he revealed the vision of Goloka Vrindavan to Lord Brahma, he said, it's kind of like a radio wave. You know, that's how it was revealed, he said. But it was only revealed due to his austerities and penance and devotion. That's what it takes. Not a master's degree. Nothing like that. Devotion. That is the main qualification for having the Lord reveal in the heart, you know, what it is, where we're going, and what we really want to know. So thank you for listening. It was like, I just loved this verse. It was so much fun preparing for it for me. If you'd like to add something or ask a question or like that, this is a good time. Anybody? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, like, despite knowing all of these qualities, that Krishna is the most beautiful, he's the most intelligent, and like he's the richest, and this and that, and like we should remember Krishna, but still, like, I still end up going for the anarthas and like all the, you know, materialist kind of things.
Yeah.
Even though I know that, oh yeah, Krishna is the most handsome person, most beautiful person, Radharani is so pretty, but still Maya is so strong.
Yeah. Well, I would just say this, that again, Parambrashadvanivartate, that experience in a higher taste. And so it says even in the beginning of this Krishna Smart Remembering Krishna, that at first it's interrupted. You know, it's like you remember Krishna, you don't remember Krishna, you remember Krishna, you don't remember Krishna. So it's kind of natural, you know. But and especially, I would say, as you get older, you know, then it's even easier because you've kind of lived through so many things and you're just really wanting to make that connection. So I would say don't be too hard on yourself, but make sure that you do read. You know, you read something, you read a little bit, it's nice, like especially I have a Kindle, you know, which I just love. I have Krishna book on there, so every night before I go to sleep, I'm reading Krishna book, and if I fall asleep, it's great, because it just ends in the same place where I left off, and I can pick up the next day, but Prabhupada recommended that, you know, take hot milk and read Krishna book before you go to bed, and you'll have nice dreams, you know, you have nice dreams. So I just think that it's a process, you know. And also your desire. So you desire like, oh, Krishna, please let me give up this bad habit. Or, you know, maybe you can. I know that when my daughter was married, Ritavja Maharaj was there for the wedding. They gave them a Bhagavad Gita. He said, if you read one verse, I think it was one verse every day, You'll finish the Bhagavad Gita by the end of the year. So, 700, okay, 2 years. Maybe it's one page, it might have been one page. But anyways, you know, just have like systems in place that you can do, you know. I can do that. I can read one verse a day, or I can read one page a day, you know. And I can read, you know, 2 pages of Krishna book a day. And then sometimes you'll want to read more, you know. But sometimes, but you always just do that. So that would be my advice to, is that helpful?
Yeah, I said like, sometimes like, when you hear the same story again and again, it sounds boring.
What, you mean when you read Krishna book again and again?
Yeah, when I read Krishna book again and again, like the same stories.
You know, I have to say that it's due to conditioning, because I, you know, I've had the experience, but I find, and maybe some of you can concur, that the more you read it, it's like, just like the story about Nanda Maharaj going into the river and Krishna revealing the spiritual world to him and his friends. I didn't remember ever reading that. And I just read that within the last few months, you know. And I've read Krishna books so many times before, but I never remembered that story until this time I read it. So I'm not asking you to read the whole Krishna book in a month. I'm just saying, you know, just read a page or two and then maybe just try to focus on one little thing. And share it with someone. That's very helpful for remembering, is if you share it.
Yeah.
So, Krishna Bhajan. Were you done? Okay.
Can I just tell you a bit of a story and then Please. Ask you a question about it? Okay, so recently, Satsarup Maharaj, I was working with Satsarup Maharaj, and he asked me to do a bit of research on the famous Welsh poet Dylan Thomas, right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
Dylan Thomas wrote poems about death. Some of his poems were about death.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a philosopher, but a tragic figure in many ways as well, right? So anyway, he's most famously known for his poem, Rage, Rage Against the Dying of the Light.
Oh, yeah.
But there's another death poem that Satsarup Maharaj wanted to write about, which starts, it's called, And Death Shall Have No Dominion, right?
Huh.
So I found this picture of Dylan Thomas when he was quite young, and there's a picture on the wall, but words, and it just says, "Prepare to meet thy God." Right.
Wow.
So anyway, so what Satsarup Maharaj wrote about that the death shall have no dominion poem, he says, it doesn't appear that Thomas was a thoroughly religious man, but that he was someone who believed that the soul was immortal, and that God or Krishna would come to him at the time of death and rescue his soul. Although his thoughts on life and death seem mostly tinged with the impersonal concept of the Supreme, we can follow this wonderful line from him and apply it to the personal concept of a Supreme. That is, he is here declaring the immortal aspect of the soul. The line, and death shall have no dominion, can mean that those who believe in the personal aspect of the Supreme, those who believe in Krishna, shall triumph over death.
Nice.
My question is, and also just to add to the other things one of Satsarup Maharaj's favorite verses that he's quoted so many times is, for one who sees me in everything and everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, also, the most important verse is, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds, mm-hmm. not just like this thing or that thing, but everything.
Everything,
Anyway, my question is, so Dylan Thomas represents kind of, you know, he's one of those, you know, he's a conditioned soul, or he was when he was alive, who's... he wrote, most of what he wrote was kind of observing the struggles that people are going through in material life, and he had obviously had some kind of realizations, such as were possible with what information was available to him at that time, the 1940s and 50s. There's such a gulf of difference between even somebody like him who's kind of even thinking about this kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
most people don't think about it, and they just go on blindly through life,
right.
You know, just not knowing where they're going or what they're supposed to be doing or anything.
Right.
There's such a gulf of difference between, you know, you were describing what it's like for us in the temple. You know, we come and see the beautiful, we see Krishna right there in front of us, sometimes I think we forget just how much and how quickly we've changed when we became devotees, because we used to be like Dylan Thomas, you know,
struggling,
seeking the truth and not knowing where to find it, right? So what are we supposed to do? Because the vast majority of people on this planet are in that situation.
I think you know the answer.
So I'm asking you, what is the answer? What are we supposed to do to? Because these people
are
suffering.
Well, that's why there was such a push by Srila Prabhupada, right? Like in the beginning days, everybody went out on Sankirtan or Harinam. And we're talking, Harinam was like all day long from morning till night. Everybody went out except maybe one person that was cooking or something like that. You know, so that's the answer, is to share. You know, and devotees are quite good about that in general. You know, like they meet somebody at the store and they'll give them a, like I met somebody at Walmart and they were collecting for, animal cruelty. You know what I mean? They were trying to protect the animals. So, you know, I was even going to give them a donation, but it was like this whole thing where you had to, I don't know, assign something for every month and all that. So I just went in my car, I got a book for each of them and gave it to them. So that's the answer, right? Is like when you're fortunate, like if you got out of the, you were able to get out of the quicksand, you know, and there's a bunch of people in it, and you try to help them out. You try to help them out, you know. So that's why Prabhupada came. That's the whole reason. It's such an advanced age, you know, with what, $7 and a sponsor and a trunk of books. That's it. But because he was doing the work of God, Krishna just gave him all facility. He didn't know what was going to happen. All he knew was that he was following the order of his spiritual master. So that burden of wanting to share, you know, to share the info. Even when you go to Rath Yatra, there's a lot of, you know, books. So if we just, and the chant world so many times, even with yourself, you're still involved in that operation. So that's, maybe you have something to add to it. Okay. Poems too that I read, like Emily Dickinson. Maybe it's right here.
She's got death poem.
The one like she's saying, stop for death, she says, death for me. And anyway, you know, the goes on, it's full. And another one by Matthew Arnold. You might want to look that one up. It's quite full. And also I had heard that like on the battle world that oftentimes the young men, they're calling out, mama, mama, you know, mom, mother. And so I looked it up and that's what it said, you know, that the majority of the people on the battlefield who were dying, they were calling out to their mother because that was their closest relationship, you know. So,
they were also mostly very young.
Exactly. They were also very young. And then I read about all the kind of famous people, what their last words were, and very unusual comments. I won't share. It's probably time to take prasadam. Thank you so very much for listening. Appreciate it. Hare Krishna. You didn't ask a question. I told you to. Remember?